Hello from the newsroom of the Financial Times in London, I'm Naomi Rovnik. Malaysian prosecutors are seeking criminal fines of over $3 billion and prison terms against Goldman Sachs bankers implicated in the country's long-running 1MDB scandal. Two employees at the Wall Street Investment Bank are accused of bribing Malaysian officials to secure involvement in the auction of $6.5 billion in bonds for 1MDB in 2012 and 2013, two-thirds of which was allegedly misappropriated. Stefania Palmer has been covering the story for the FT, and she spoke to Tom Braithwaite about the latest developments.
Stefania, tell us about the Malaysian charges. How far do they mirror charges brought against the Goldman bankers by the US Department of Justice last month?
They're actually very, very similar, and it kind of indicates that Malaysia somewhat has piggybacked on what the DOJ has already announced in terms of charges. They target similar bankers. It's Tim Leisner and Roger Ng. It's also the same sum, $2.7 billion. That is what the DOJ said was misappropriated from the bond proceeds issued by 1MDB and arranged by Goldman. The DOJ said they were used to essentially bribe Malaysian officials, and that is the same points made by the Malaysian Attorney General. So it definitely seems like the DOJ announcement really helped Malaysia kick off its own proceedings in a far bigger way, far bigger than what we've seen so far.
So one of the bankers you mentioned, Tim Leisner, is in the US and is cooperating with the Justice Department probe. The other one, Roger Ng, is in Malaysia and being detained. Is that right?
Exactly. So he tried to appeal. He tried to acquire the right of bail, but he was denied this right, according to the local press and local court filings. One of the main reasons was that the judge said there was a risk that he might abscond. And that could be obviously problematic also because the U.S. has requested an extradition for Roger Ng. We're still pending this extradition hearing that has to happen in Malaysia. But for now, Roger Ng remains in remand and essentially was arrested in Malaysia and remains in custody.
The one person that we haven't mentioned so far is Joe Low. Is he involved in this? He was the guy at the center of the scandal, but we haven't heard or seen from him for quite some time.
Exactly. So Joe Low remains at large. Even though he was technically never employed by 1MDB, he definitely is deemed to be essentially at the heart and the key architect of this entire fraud. He was one of the people that was accused and was charged in the charges issued by Malaysia on Monday. But a spokesperson of Joe Low just sent a statement saying that he believes he's not guilty and that he doesn't want to deal with governments like Malaysia, which he thinks are essentially targeting him for political purposes. We have no idea where he is. We can say there are strong rumors that he might be in China, but this still has not been confirmed.
How do Joe Low and Goldman tie together in this whole affair, Stefania?
So essentially, Joe Low has always been seen, according to court filings and also charge sheets that were even distributed by the DOJ, as being a very, very close figure to some of the bankers, especially Tim Leisner in Goldman. And they were always deemed to be together, whether it was very important meetings. Allegedly, Joe Low was also sitting in some meetings with the former head of Goldman, Lloyd Blankfein, as we also reported. But Joe Low has always been seen as the key figure linking 1MDB to Goldman, especially to bring about these financial transactions.
And how has Goldman itself responded to these latest accusations?
They say they obviously do not agree, that they will continue fighting these accusations and that they're trying to cooperate as much as they can with authorities.
You recently interviewed Anwar Ibrahim, who's expected to be Malaysia's next prime minister, and he expressed disgust at the way Goldman behaved towards his country and suggested negotiations should be undertaken to recoup a substantial amount of losses. Let's hear a clip from that interview.
No, we will have to look at all options possible. Right now, of course, demanding the commission to be returned, but negotiations need to continue because the complicity of Goldman Sachs has, in actual fact, been used by the 1MDB to give some sort of credence to them, and therefore is a cost to the country. So a possibility of litigation or some sort of negotiations where we can recoup a substantial amount of losses to be given back to the people of Malaysia.
The scandal of the missing funds, of course, is wider than the bond sale in question. How much money altogether does Malaysia believe was stolen from the country's state investment fund, and what do we know about where the money went?
So allegedly, $4.5 billion has gone missing from 1MDB, and it just bounced around a number of bank accounts all over the world and ended up being used for buying things like custom jewelry or producing Hollywood movies, as we know, just like the Wolf of Wall Street, for example, ironically. Also to buy very, very expensive works of art or luxury real estate. So what really makes this situation quite distinctive is the cross-border nature of it, the intricacy of the network that was created to embezzle and siphon off these funds, but also just the vast array of objects that were bought with the money that it was 1MDB's.
The scandal brought down the government of Najib Razak, who founded the fund in 2009. He's facing his own charges, although he denies any wrongdoing. Do you think the change of regime means the scandal will now be fully investigated?
Absolutely. I mean, after the elections in May, it was really night and day change in Malaysia when it comes to addressing the 1MDB investigation. I mean, under Najib Razak, the people that were starting to investigate the 1MDB affair while he was still in power lost their jobs. He moved them away from their responsibilities, and also the Swiss Attorney General, for instance, because Switzerland is also a jurisdiction that is investigating 1MDB because money has ended up also in Switzerland, allegedly. The Swiss Attorney General also made the point that as soon as he met with the new Attorney General and the new government in Kuala Lumpur, it was a completely different rapport. If pre-elections in May, it was hard to get Malaysia to collaborate in any way, now it's the key priority for the current ruling coalition. So I'm sure that there will be a far stronger effort to dig deeper into the 1MDB affair.
And how much more is there left to be uncovered?
I think the big, big question, it's not so much about quantity, it's more about some key players like Joe Lo, for instance. He remains at large, even though there are authorities in Malaysia and Singapore that have called for his arrest. And if in any way there is a possibility for Malaysia or any of the authorities that are investigating 1MDB to actually get a hold of him and make him become a key part of the investigation, it would be a complete game changer. So I think that's the key missing tassel in all of this.
That was our Southeast Asia correspondent, Stephanie Palmer, talking to Tom Braithwaite. We'll be back with another news feature tomorrow. In the meantime, if you're not already a subscriber and would like to discover more FT content, do take a look at our latest subscription offer at ft.com/offer.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts.